Enormous time in greyhound and harness racing, and the Inter-Dominion returns to Victoria for the first time in 4 years, and the first round of heats are at Ballarat on Saturday night. So we're going to dedicate a good, well, 25 to 30 minutes this morning to really having a really good hard look at the series in the first round of heats, and Ryan Phelan is going to help us through, and he's going to be one of the key men in the coverage of the Inter-Dominion throughout all media outlets, and he joins me. G'day, Ryan. How are you, mate?
And Matty Stewart, good morning to you and good morning to the RSN listeners. Yeah, it's a really exciting time, Matt, and a big thank you to you and RSN for this special half hour to focus on what really is harness racing's premier event. It is the pinnacle event, the Inter-Dominion. It's a race steeped in history, and I know in the modern day we often reference prize money with what may make a race bigger than others nowadays, but really I think it's the time-honoured races that really capture the hearts and minds of people in both thoroughbred greyhounds and also harness racing. And this is top of the tree, the Inter-Dominion, so really looking forward to this over the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's kind of chopped and changed, and it's been a bit of a moving feast, but it's been a constant historic factor in harness racing, hasn't it? And it's always going to be the most famous thing we do in harness racing.
Yeah, you're spot on, Matty. And look, the series gets underway, obviously, with the first rounds of heats for the Pacers and the Trotters this Saturday night at Ballarat. So it returns to Victoria for the first time in a number of years. The first race this Saturday, by the way, goes at 5:34. So then we head to Shepparton on Tuesday evening and then Geelong Saturday week in the big finals at Melton on December 10. So it's great that it's taking in all aspects of Victoria. This year we're going to see a further evolution of Victoria trotting, with Harness Racing Victoria announcing it will run the equal number of heats for both the Pacers and the Trotters. Now, that's the first time that the Pacers and Trotters will have three rounds of three qualifying heats in an Inter-Dominion series. So that's great news for the Square Gators. But I think there's just a lot of depth in this series this year, and it's captured a lot of attention. Now, there was news yesterday, Matt, that New South Wales representative Alpine Stride is out of the series. It was deemed to be lame in the left foreleg. So Monomia will now take its place in the series. That was after the fields were announced. And it's worth noting for punters out there that Monomia, being an outside of the draw winner last, outside of the draw runner, will start from the outside of the second row. So not in the place of Alpine Stride, who will start from barrier number three, who would have started from barrier number three. So just take note with that respective heat, just with that horse coming in and where it will start in its respective gate.
You mentioned the splice of pacing and trotting heats, and you've got a terrific guest list for us in the next 20 or 25 minutes or so, including Greg Sugars, who's represented in both disciplines, Kate Gath, of course, with superstar Majestoso going around with her husband Andy, and also Chris Alford's got one, two in the trotting heats as well. So plenty of splice in the interviews this morning. But we are going to start with Luke McCarthy, who's on the line now. Ryan, who's got Expensive Ego in one of the pacing heats, and also AGS White Sox in another pacing heat. Good morning, Luke.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
And Matt, it's extraordinary to think that Luke, for everything that he's achieved in the harness racing industry, the Inter-Dominion is a race that's eluded this champion driver. He's won 11 heats. He's been in 10 finals as a driver. He's been on the third step of the podium with horses like Slip and Slide, XL Stride, For a Reason. What's more, Expensive Ego, who's in this year's series, who Luke co-trains with wife Belinda, was first past the post last year, only to be relegated to second on protest. Look, Luke, I probably shouldn't mention the war in that respect, should I? But look, it really just, I guess, showcases how important this race is to you and your desire to win the Inter-Dominion. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Ryan. And, yeah, of course it is. I think for any of us growing up in the industry, it's always the pinnacle race. It, and of course the Miracle Mile and Hunter Cup are the ones you really dream to win. And you know, I grew up as a young fellow going to Brian Hancock since I was 13, and of course Brian had a terrific run through the Inter-Dominions and won so many of them. And you know, I was lucky enough to sort of grow up in that era when it was pushed out of Ian Slot at the end of it. So yeah, you always aspire to have a horse good enough to be in the series, and hopefully one day we can win it.
And, well, you essentially, as I mentioned, did win it last year with Expensive Ego, only to lose it on protest. Yet another chapter in this horse's fascinating story. Since then, he's probably had a little bit of a checkered time as far as his form is concerned, but here you are aiming up at another Inter Dominion. Can you compare him going into this series as he was going into last series?
Yeah, you can. He's, like last year, he just had a massive season. You know, he won the Chariots, sat outside King of Swing in the Miracle Mile and run second, went right through the season, won, you know, feature APGs and all that sort of stuff. And his Inter Dominion couldn't have been any better. He won all three heats, broke a track record at Bathurst, you know, went super in the final. They got home in 52-7, so he couldn't have went any better. And but it tired him. You know, we should have went straight to the paddock after that and missed, you know, a Melbourne campaign and just had him fresh for the mile. But he needed a spell and he's had it. So we've learnt from that. He's come back up good, won first up in Sydney. Victorian Cup run was too bad to be true. We couldn't put it down anything. So, look, we've turned the page on that. He came out and won again at Meningle, you know, 3 weeks later, and then has trialled good 10 days out. So he's fit, he's sound, he's healthy. You know, we're expecting him to go really well.
And his campaign starts in race 5. He is number 10, Expensive Ego. Drawn 3 off the back row, Luke, and you've got an odds-on favourite in Mac Dan, drawn 2. Obviously, for a lot of people that might be listening this morning, a thoroughbred fans and maybe wouldn't watch a lot of harness racing. And I guess just talk them through how a series works with the Inter Dominion, and I guess how you as a driver and also with Belinda as a trainer need to approach a series, because you've got, you know, a few races to think about, not just this one race on Saturday night. And so with that in mind, tactics will play a major part with how you will drive Expensive Ego.
Oh, for sure, Ryan. And for those that don't know, the horses obviously have to race 3 times in the week and then back up a week later in the final. So for the thoroughbred world, it's virtually unheard of. So, but the standardbreds do handle it. And, you know, they're, especially now Ego and for St. Louis, they're seasoned at that level now. So I'm sure they'll handle it. They're going into it very fit and healthy. And, you know, we'll drive them positive. You know, Expensive Ego can make his own luck. So, you know, I'll put him in the race straight away and make sure he's right up there ready for the fight.
Race 6, you've got a two-pronged attack with number 7, Ultra Orlando, who's drawn outside of the front but has terrific early gate speed. Spirit of St. Louis, drawn 12, the outside of the back row. Just on that, I'm not sure whether drivers will be confirmed. Will you drive Louis?
I'll drive Ultra Orlando, Ryan, because Jack Callaghan always drives Spirit of St. Louis, and, you know, he's done such a good job on him, so he'll stick with Louis.
Okay, so with that in mind then, obviously Ultra Orlando with that early speed, and we actually saw Spirit of St. Louis last year. His best form was here in Melbourne. So considering the way he goes down here, that runner must fill you with confidence. But Ultra Orlando, obviously, we just know he's a war horse at this level as well.
Yeah, he's just been a great horse, Ryan. He's 10 now and he's still going as good as ever. He came across from New Zealand as a class 3 and now he's been at that top level for 4 seasons and he's earned over $1 million. And so, yeah, he's naturally quick off the gate, so we'll go forward and try and put ourselves in a good spot.
And in race 7, you have number 5, AG's White Sox. Look, that's a pretty tricky heat. You've got Better Eclipse drawn 1 and Bonsell Benjamin shows great speed, the defending champion from last year, and then you've got some back row pressure as well. Look, we know the best AG's White Sox is always a chance, but where have you got this horse at the moment?
We're really happy with him. He came across from New Zealand. He just had so much tough racing over there and a lot of standing starts in 13, but he's few runs back in Sydney this time have been really good, and on Saturday night he had a run and ran his own last half in 53-1, so on the clock he was great and his work was good this morning. So, you know, he might be getting a touch older, but he's not acting it, and, you know, I think he'll run a decent race.
I might just jump in there, guys, because Greg Sugars is waiting in the wings as well. Luke, good luck, mate. Hopefully you get through the series intact, and so do your horses.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Luke McCarthy there. Ryan, Greg Sugars has got a horse very close to my heart because it's owned by the Pacing Priest, Father Glasheen, 888, and he's got others as well. G'day, Greg.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're well. How's the Priest's horse?
Yeah, no, everything seems good. We're really looking forward to the series with all our horses, but, you know, particularly him, you know, he's been there and done it before, and, you know, he's getting a little bit older now, so we don't know exactly how many more series he's got left in him, but, we're going into this one very happy.
The Inter Dominion series has been so great to you, hasn't it, Greg? Last year, it was probably one of your greatest moments in the sport, winning the Trotters final with Maori Law. You'd finished second and third with Flaming Flutter in years previously, but you just must be so excited about this year's series when you consider Saturday night, you have three of the six heats, you'll be driving the favourites. So you must be very confident with your charges.
Oh, look, yeah, absolutely. The Inter Dominion's always been, the race that I've always wanted to win. So to tick that off the list last year was, a bit of a dream come true. But yeah, as you say, this year, it looks like we've sort of gone to another level in the fact that, you know, we've got four runners from our own stable competing in it. So that's a real career highlight in itself. So not going to be easy. But, yeah, we're going in there with some pretty reasonable chances, so let's hope luck's on our side.
Yes, in both the square gaiters, the trotters, and also the pacers, which is very rare to see trainers and drivers win both. But let's start with race two, number six, Just Believe, who actually ran third in last year's final. Since it's been with you and Jess, six starts, three wins. That included the Bill Trotter's Mile. Look, this horse is just absolutely flying. What do you do from the draw, particularly with Queen Elida off the back row? You obviously will look for the lead and be positive.
Yeah, I think so. He's in really good order. Had a nice soft run the other night and unfortunately got a flat tyre for the last 400 metres, but still hit the line strong. But, he's in terrific order. And I think, she's clearly our main danger. And the fact that even though we've got a wide front row draw, we have got a front row draw. So, we'll try to capitalise on that and press forward.
And Greg, race four, number three, one overall. On paper, this looks to be a step up, but the market respect for this horse just goes to show what sort of form one overall is in. There's gate speed there as well. What sort of confidence does one overall give you? And can you draw a line between Just Believe, who probably has proven itself a little bit more bulletproof at this level?
He's a horse that's got a hell of a lot of ability. There's no doubt about that. And all his runs this time in have been, you know, first class, really, in the country club stand position. So the mobile's held a little bit of a concern for him in recent times where he's made a few mistakes behind the gate. So that is a concern going into this series with him. There's no question about that. But the horse is really well in himself. And, track work wise, there's nothing between he and Just Believe. If anything, this bloke might be a touch sharper than Just Believe. So, the ability's certainly there to mix it with pretty much nearly any horse in this series. But his manners, they are a little bit of a concern.
And Matty touched on 888, but we may be saving the best to last for race number seven, Better Eclipse. This horse has just been really one of the best horses in the Grand Circuit over the past 12 months. I just wonder about barrier number one for him. I know that he's got gate speed, Greg, and he's versatile. I'm sure you'd probably prefer to take a sit on this horse, but you might have to just really show your hand and try drive him like the best horse in this race and attempt to lead all the way. How do you see the tactics? Because there looks to be a bit of pressure.
Yeah, that's right. No, I sort of agree with everything you just sort of said there. You know, he gets out pretty good. He held the front early in the Victoria Cup before taking a sit on that occasion. But, look, if I can kick through and hold him out going into the first turn in a race like this, I think start of a Inter Dominion series, I'd be more than happy to sort of hold it in this field. And he's had a couple of runs under his belt now. He probably went into that big cup, just below where he needed to be. But, his next run, even though he was beaten, was probably better. When he just failed to catch Acnow up the straight in the 4 and 5 year old championship. So we think he's going into this series pretty much as good as we can get him. So, I'm hoping he'll go there and stand up and be counted.
Well, hopefully there's a bit of divine intervention spilling over from Triple Eight. Greg, good luck, mate, to you through the series as well.
No worries at all. Thanks a lot, guys.
Greg Sugars, one of Bacchus Marsh's finest. Ryan, we're going to take a short break and then come back with Kate Marathon Girl Gath and also the puppet Chris Alford. It's 11 to 11.
On radio, digital radio, the app and streaming, RSN's Racing Pulse.
8 minutes to 11, one of the blockbuster heats early on is going to be the trotting heat between Majestuoso, Andy and Kate Gath, and Bolt for Brilliance, drawn 1 and 2 for the second trotting heat on Saturday night. What a race that's going to be. Ryan and Kate Gath, the marathon legend, is on the line. G'day, Gath. Kate.
Everyone confuses my first name with my second name. Don't feel bad, Matt.
Well, I tell you one thing.
I still do, though.
I tell you one thing, Maddie. Kate might be fitter than her biggest chance in the Inner Dominion this year in Majestuoso. Kate, good morning to you, because Majestuoso only has had one start back from the spell. Is that with the view from you and Andy that this horse will develop fitness through the series?
Yeah, we were happy to do that with him as long as he had that that one run, and then we were happy to miss. And, you know, go straight into the series. So he's the sort of horse that goes pretty good fresh, and, that's been the plan for him.
Well, what a draw you've got for the first round of heats. Barrier one, but right next to you is Bolt for Brilliance. What do you make of the gate speed of both Majestuoso and Bolt for Brilliance and your tactics?
Yeah, I get out the gate really good, and I've got, like, a whole lot of respect for Bolt for Brilliance. Like, his best is, you know, up there with as good as you get. Obviously, his last couple of runs have been a little bit below par, so, we'll have to see where he's at, but we'll be happy to lead and hold it, if we can. And, like I said, we do get out pretty good.
We know Majestuoso, at his best, is a classy horse. Where do you think he stacks up in this year's series? Because so much of the talk has been about the New Zealander Bolt for Brilliance, and here we see in the market here there's not too much between them. Just your thoughts on this horse and the quality of him going into an Inter Dominion series.
Yeah, obviously Majestuoso is best. His whole career has been very good. Obviously last time he just was, he had a little injury issue there, just a back muscle, a tear, and that's why he wasn't at his best. But this time back in, he seems really good. He's had a lot of work. He's working really well. So I think, he'd have to be considered, a really good chance and right up there in the series. Like I said, Bolt for Brilliance is, I've got so much respect for him. His best is brilliant. But, yeah, I guess we're just not sure. Have to see how he goes Saturday to see if he's at his, brilliant best.
You've got other good chances. Race 2, number 11, Chinese Whisper, but off the back row is tricky. Similar for Vacation Hill, race 4, number 8. But, gee, Tango Tara in the paces, race 6, number 1. Look, I know it's about $61 at the moment with Tab, but we know this horse has good early gate speed and maybe could return to form in a race like that. Just your thoughts on Tango Tara and those other two chances.
Vacation Hill, she's got the weakest, heat of the trotters, if there is one. But tricky draw, and she probably, hopefully she just draws good, at Shepherd and over the short. She does like the short. And Chinese Whisper is going well, and he's quite a nice horse, but that draw around Ballarat, if there's no speed on, makes it awfully tricky to make too much ground. But hopefully there is some speed on and he can get home well. And Tango Tara, we're just not 100% happy with him at the moment. So we're just actually awaiting on a blood result to see, where he's at. So we'll just have to wait and see with him.
Kate, well done. Thanks for your time this morning, and well done again for New York. You're an absolute inspiration, and you did such a mighty job. Love to sit down and have a drink and just go through every stage of that famous course with you at some stage. And best of luck over the next couple of weeks as well.
Thanks for having me.
The legend, Kate Gath, there. She is an inspiration, Ryan, isn't she? But equally so is our next guest, the legend himself, the puppet, Chris Alford, who's not quite on the line yet, but he'll be with us shortly. He's got Queen Alita and Sleepy in the trotting heat, the first trotting heat, and Kai Valley Chief, of course, in the second heat. And Chris is about to join us now. Morning, puppet.
Good morning, Matthew.
How are you, old son?
I'm very well, thank you.
I've got the great Ryan Phelan here to take you through your two great candidates.
And it's funny, Matty, when we call him a legend, let's call him a very young legend of the game, Chris Alford, because it's amazing when you think of his age that he's still quite a young fella, and he's driven over 6,600 winners, two Inter-Dominion finals with Golden Rain and Lenny the Shark. And look, Chris, another really strong chance this year, in particular with Queen Elida. You must be absolutely delighted to be behind her in a series like this.
Yeah, good morning, Ryan. Yeah, she's a great mare, really going well at the moment, and she had a little breather, but her run last week would have brought her right up the top of the game, I think.
She is a four-year-old mare, and maybe this experience for some might think that it's a bit of a test, but just speak to her class and the confidence that trainer Brent Lilly gives you in Queen Elida to know that she can take out a series like this.
Yeah, well, it's probably pretty rare for a four-year-old mare to run in a series like this, but saying that, she's like a really mature horse. She just has the perfect gait and the perfect temperament to get through it, I think.
Obviously, you've got another runner in that race with your wife, Alison, Sleepy as well. How's Sleepy going? We know this horse can be a little bit enigmatic, but at its best is a pretty handy trotter.
Yeah, she had a break off while she was recovering from an injury, but she's come back pretty well, and you know, I think she'll run really well on Sunday night. She'll just improve while the series goes on. I think she'll need to run a little bit, but she seems to be working very well.
And Chris, the one that I'm sure you're quietly excited about comes up in race 7, number 7, Max Delight. Look, this horse is absolutely flying, but has just had no luck with barriers. Is that how you would view it?
Yeah, pretty much. He drew on 7 on Saturday night, which isn't great, but he, like you said, he drew 13 in the Victoria Cup and finished off really well and was unlucky. And you know, he ran 4th in the final last year, so if anything goes his way this year, he's going to make the final. And if he gets a draw, hopefully he'll be hard to beat.
And that's it. Is he a bit of a forgotten horse, Chris, because his sectionals last start when 5th behind Bulletproof Boy was the quickest of the night. You mentioned his prowess in last year's series, and we know that he's a Victoria Cup winner. He's classy. Do you think he's as screwed down and as going as well as he was probably 12 to 18 months ago into this series?
Well, David was really happy with him before his last, so I can't see anything changing there. We're just going to have to drive for a bit of luck and soft run through the series and get him through to the final.
Well, good luck, Chris. A couple of big chances. Most importantly, Queen Elida on Saturday night. Hopefully a great series ahead for you.
No, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you, Puppet. And good on you too, Ryan. What are you most looking forward to on Saturday night and for the entire series, Ryan?
Oh, look, I'm really looking forward to seeing how our first guest, Luke McCarthy's horses, perform throughout this series. I would love to see Expensive Ego bounce back to his best, because I think it's fair to say that the free-for-all ranks have been, you know, a little bit down since the retirement of King of Swing earlier in the year. So it'd be great to see another heir apparent like Expensive Ego step up. So really looking forward to him, Matt. But I'm actually looking forward to the coverage that you'll see, not just on Sky Channel, but our dedicated coverage on Trot's Vision as well, where we're going to give you all the up-to-date information, colour and excitement. So that's the trots.com.au. You can see that on Saturday night. We can now cast it to our smart TVs, Chromecast, Apple TV, so you can watch it on high definition on the big screen. So you'll be able, Matty, to see Adam Hamilton in high definition. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but he'll be beside me throughout the coverage as well, along with Gareth Hall, Jason Bonington, also Shannon O'Sullivan and Brittany Graham will be on track for Sky Channel. So a cast of thousands, throw Mick Guerin into the mix, and you've got the greatest hits of harness racing throughout the Inter-Dominion series.
Adam Hamilton at the age of 53 in high definition. Well, that'll be a query. I'm sure he'll be well made up for the occasion. Hey, good on you, mate. Thanks for this morning. And as you say, Trot's Vision with a cast of absolute superstars, including Adam and Mick and Gareth and all the crew there. And, of course, you'll be on RSN's Big V on Saturday morning at 9:45 to continue to set the scene. So thanks again, mate.
Looking forward to it, Matty. And once again, thank you to you and RSN for your support of Harness Racing.
Absolute pleasure. Ryan Phelan there. And don't forget, he and Adam and the crew will be on Trot's Vision on Saturday night. And then Ryan, 9:45, to set the scene for the big first round of heats, trotters and pacers, on Saturday night at Ballarat.